Hello, everybody. You just tuned in to Set for Success at 680 CJOB with your host, Richard Lannon. Yep, that's me. Been here for a while. We're going to continue our journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, career, or life through chatting to one person at a time to uncover their lives, the hidden gems within, and to learn and grow together as a business community, or actually overall as a community. I find the investment and success of other people fascinating, and I'm often wondering why one person is more successful in life than another person. What makes the difference? Ray Gothard once said, there are two types of people who will tell you you cannot make a difference in the world, those who are afraid to try and those who are afraid that you will succeed. Part of leading a successful life is having people that support you, that are around you and support you. I recall a friend of mine who was talking about his dad, and I said, you know, what is one of the things that you remember about your dad? And he said, well, my dad was not very tight or very close with his family. And every day of my life, I would hear this expression, you ain't no good, you'll never amount to nothing, can't wait till you're gone. And that's what he did. As a teenager, he left and never returned. Today, he's married still for over 30 years. Congratulations on that. His kids are all growing up and they're close. He's successful and he has a close family. So I asked him, why do you feel you're so successful? And without batting an eye, he actually said, I think about what my dad would do and I do the opposite. He focused on his family instead of work and became a successful middle-class Canadian, for which he's really proud of being a middle-class Canadian. Then he looked at me and said, you know, not everything's about money, I guess. He said, success lies in the things you do and the people you impact. So choose to have a positive impact. So I think that's our opening Set for Success thought today. Surround yourself with the people who support you and choose to have a positive impact. I suspect my guest today has probably done some of that stuff. Allison Shane. Allison, the last time we met, I referred to you as a social media guru. So I'm going to do the same thing today.
That's fair. That's a fair statement. That's call me a guru.
I can call you a guru. Well, at least this time around, you actually accept that you're a guru.
I know some stuff.
You know some stuff. We know some stuff, know some people. Allison, I always like to start the show off about getting to know the person who I'm hanging out with. And I tell my guests to always treat this sort of like we're actually having coffee. We're at our favorite coffee place. We're not going to mention any companies because, you know, that would be like a little thing for them. We're hanging out and everything, and you know, and I want to know a little bit about you. So talk about you personally. I don't want to know about your work. I want to know about you personally.
So me in a nutshell, I'm a writer first and foremost. I remember being a kid and wanting to get into writing, and everyone around me, basically their attitude was, well, you're going to be a journalist or you're going to be Stephen King.
What
are you going to do as a writer? Nobody's a writer. You can't make a living being a writer. And I do. Okay. I run a content marketing company, which specializes in writing. So I get to do the thing that I love in a variety of creative and applicable ways over like both social media and different aspects of marketing. And in addition to that, I also do speaking. I do volunteer work in my community. And I run a good sci-fi book club.
You run a good sci-fi book club. Okay, so that's pretty cool. So you know what I want to tackle first is what is a sci-fi book club?
It's literally an excuse for me to read more. As a writer, of course, it's important for me to take time out of reading about things about business and things that relate to my industry, and also spend time doing some, you know, reading fiction and or reading autobiographies or whatever the case may be. But I want to read more fiction, and I feel that science fiction is an important avenue through which we can explore a lot of social ideas.
Right.
And my friends also have told me that they want to read more. So we decided to start a sci-fi book club, and we get together every couple of months and we choose a book together. And it's not necessarily hard science fiction. It's, you know, I use sci-fi sort of loosely. The book we just finished, for example, was The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood, which is not science fiction. It's speculative fiction.
It's very speculative. I read it years and years and years ago.
I just reread it actually for the first time in about a decade, and it still floored me. It was great.
It's pretty good, right? Pretty good, Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. And I probably just said that incorrectly, knowing me.
It's okay.
My words sometimes. I find the idea that you're a sci-fi buff, I'm going to use the word buff, and you sort of restate it.
Fascinating. Why?
Because you know what? I've got, I have two kids, right? Mm-hmm. Well, young adults or adults. One's older and one's a young adult. And one is definitely, like, he is proud to wear the term nerd. And he is a total sci-fi type buff and goes to all the different conventions and stuff. So I'm now curious, do you attend the conventions and the shows? Do you have certain characters or that you just sort of relate to? Like, what would you say in that case?
Well, I think so a convention for me encompasses a lot more things. I don't go to as many cons or conventions as I would like. I haven't been to one in several years, for example. I've been meaning to go to, is it Comic-Con's a big one that comes in October?
Comic-Con's a big one, yeah.
I think this year I'm going to make a point to go, but it always seems to fall on a weekend where I'm doing something.
Oh, sure.
And it just sort of doesn't work itself out. Yeah, busy lady. But I do try and make a point to go when I can. But what was the question we were talking about?
I'm just wondering about characters. Are there any characters that you relate to, and do you go to events and stuff? But you sort of answered the event one,
yeah.
But I'm wondering about a character that you might relate to.
I wouldn't say that there's one particular character that I relate to more than others. I deliberately try and read, especially when it comes to fiction, I try and read a variety of things, and it's generally more about the topics that the novel is discussing versus a specific character.
Okay.
I often find that I don't like a lot of characters in the books that I read, and that provides an intellectual challenge, because it's easy to put down a book when you don't like the narrative that it's being, like, the perspective it's being written from. But
yeah.
I often find, like, to sort of pivot away from books into TV for a second, the show Arrested Development, for example.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All of the characters on that show are awful people. They're horrible.
They are.
But
they
all, you know, they're comedic foils for each other, but they also sort of act as these, like, personal tropes.
Yeah.
And ways through which you can explore different aspects of somebody's personality. And I feel that science fiction and or speculative fiction as well is a good avenue through which you can do that.
Okay. So I think that, you know, it's interesting you use Arrested Development as the example there, because their characters are brought to the extreme.
Yep.
Right? I mean, the extreme of not being good characters. And
yep.
It's almost like if you look at the characters, the way I feel about those characters are, if you look at them, you can almost find a little bit of yourself in one of the characters.
Oh, totally.
You know? And then it just take that and amplify it 200, 300, or 500%.
And if you pivot over, like, to carry with the TV theme, like, if you look at something like Star Trek, so much of Star Trek is just social commentary.
Oh, it is.
There's this one, I forget the name of the episode. It's from the, I think it's from the original series. It's with Captain Kirk. And it was from the 1960s, and they ran into this alien species that were like black and white down one side.
I know exactly the one you're talking
about. So for listeners who may not have seen this, like, let's say the right side of your body is all black and the left side of your body is all white. And there are other people on this planet whose the right side of their body is all white and the left side is all black. So they're just opposites, and they're in this huge conflict and they hate each other. And there's, you know, they're basically being racist against one another.
Yeah, yeah.
And Captain Kirk shows up and he's like, but you guys are the same.
Yeah.
And people didn't realize at the time, but this is actually commentary on racial tensions in the United States.
At the point in time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think science fiction is a good way to do that.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think basically if you look at the author of those particular books and then, of course, the movies later on, that was part of the intent, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was commentary in terms of social events.
Totally.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Allison about her thoughts. Hey, I'm hanging out with Allison. That's what you told me to say.
Just little old me.
Just little old you. come on now, Allison. If you're just tuning in, Allison is a local entrepreneur, a successful business person, and a social media guru. But we've sort of been hanging out, just sort of talking about life experience a little bit. I loved all the stuff you did on sci-fi, you know, and the fiction, the whole bit like that. During the break, you commented on my opening monologue around that could be anybody's life's narrative.
Yeah, I thought that the example you used of your friend who had the negative experience with their family that then went on to motivate them for success later in life was really relatable. I appreciate that you opened with those kinds of stories, because that is my history.
Okay.
I don't come from a super supportive family background, beyond just the negative commentary about my writing and what I wanted to do. I just was really told that I wasn't going to amount to anything. And the narrative that I grew up with was find a job, keep your head down, don't rock the boat, ride it till you get a pension, and then retire.
And then retire. And that's a very, I hope this is okay to say, that's a very, almost sounds working class type of mentality.
Yeah, and but, I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with doing that.
No, no, there's absolutely
all.
Nothing wrong with
but
that at all.
To be told that narrative and to be told that you're not going to go anywhere and that the creative things that you do and the things that make you feel passionate, like passion in your life, have no value and that you should just suppress them and, you know, put your head down and try and be just a cog in the wheel just really didn't fit with me. And as a creative person, it can be really challenging to hear that from the people that are supposed to support you the most. And, you know, in the case with your friend, it's good to hear that it motivated them in the opposite direction. And to some extent, I feel like that's what happened with myself as well.
Yeah, I think they sort of figured something out along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that they figured it out right away. In other words, I don't think it was a light switch moment. Oh, I'm going to do this. I think it's sort of one of those things that they look back and they realize that they did.
Yeah, there's Steve Jobs gave a really good talk. I think it's at Stanford, I think, or something like that. He gave a speech to like the graduating class some year. It's a couple years ago. It's a YouTube video. It's really good.
Yeah.
And he says in that speech, you know, it's only looking back that you can connect the dots. And I really think that that's the case because we often don't realize what's happening to us in the moment or the things that influence the decisions that we're making that lead us down, you know, ideally the right path or a path that gets us eventually to where we need to be.
Yeah, there's an expression, of course, hindsight's 20/20.
Oh, God, I love that expression.
Yeah, it's not a great one. Well, it's so true.
Yeah.
And the other one is all paths lead to where you're supposed to go. Right. Which is a pretty, you know, in other words, no matter what the decision is, you'll end up where you're supposed to be, which is a little bizarre, you know.
I think supposed to be is subjective, though.
Or meant to be.
Yeah. I think that that's subjective. I mean, like my personal history is that I'm very frank with where I come from personally. And I wouldn't say that my family have made a lot of choices that made them happy. I watched the people in my life make the cowardly choice and not invest in themselves and not push their boundaries and recede further and further and further into themselves. So I don't know if like my dad in hindsight, for example, would say that this was like the best path for him. It's just where he is now. Mm. But to sort of loop that back to like my personal thing and not to focus on his too much.
Yeah, of course.
Seeing those things and having those influences made me realize that I actually want to go in the opposite direction of all of that. And I've been fortunate that not only have I found personal happiness and success by doing the opposite of what I was told my whole life, but I'm now in a position as a business owner and as, you know, as somebody in my community where I get to make that impact on other people. I get to be a role model and I get to say to my friends and colleagues, you can do the thing you want to do. You just have to dedicate yourself to doing it and figure out how to get there.
Yeah. One of the best speeches I've ever heard was actually from a pastor. And you often think about the things that actually impact your life. So I was in British Columbia in my late 20s. So, you know, maybe 28-ish or so, walking down the street wondering, you know, what am I going to do with my life one of these days?
Yeah.
So I was walking by a church. Now, at that point in my life, this is not something I would go into, but I decided to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor was talking about determination, you know, is one of the key things. Perseverance and determination. And those two words have actually stayed with me all my life. I share this with you because I think in a way that's sort of what you're talking about. You know, it's like if you can figure out roughly what it is you want to do, then it really comes down to determination and perseverance because there's going to be many peaks and valleys and detours along the way.
I think that in addition to like perseverance, I think an important aspect of that is my partner always refers to it as being default yes.
When default yes.
When somebody offers you an opportunity, say yes.
Okay.
And even if it scares you, even if you feel overwhelmed, say yes.
Yeah. And that's pretty good. Yeah, you heard the tapping on the counter there.
I was getting a little into it.
Yeah. That's all right. So, you know, that's an interesting one because out of curiosity, and, you know, you can mention this to your partner, and I'm going to say it anyway, but what if you say yes so many times that you're overextended?
Well, I think that it's important to know your boundaries.
Yeah, okay.
I think that, yeah, an important caveat there would be like, don't say yes to everything, but be default yes to the things that you think will move you forward or will challenge you in a way that's going to help you grow as a person.
Or make a difference.
Absolutely. Ideally, all of those things.
Yeah,
you know, saying yes to something that makes a difference is often one of the best ways to grow as an individual.
I have to agree with you. I come from a perspective of that anything in life that you want to do, you can do. Just put your mind to it, mm-hmm. and you can make it happen. And I truly believe this, and I've tried to impart that into my own boys and that too, that, you know, life's a choice. Mm-hmm. There's lots of things you can't control. So you just basically manage those things, but then deal with the things that you can actually, have a difference with.
Yep.
And I think those become a very important piece of success.
I think so too.
Yeah, so there you go. We're both on the same page, roughly, when we're looking at that. Just before we go on break, I know you have a company. What's the name of the company?
We're called Starling Social. Starling is spelled Starling, like the bird.
Yeah. I think what we'll do is we'll take a short break and we'll talk about the interesting work that you're doing within your organization.
Sounds good.
This is Richard Lamford, Set for Success. I'll be right back with my new friend, Allison, shortly. Everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Allison Shane. Allison, just before the break, I sort of did the hook in terms of coming in and talking about your business and everything. But the reality of this is you're a very expressive person when you talk. And now, listeners, you got to understand this. Allison's got her arms going all over the place and everything. And you've got like this tattoo on the side of your arm. I can't read it, but I'm curious. What does it say?
It says... Slightly insane on the 18 North Main.
Slightly insane on the 18th North Main. Okay, so tell us the backstory.
So longtime Winnipeggers will recognize this lyric as a propaganda lyric. John K. Samson wrote this.
Okay.
I used to be really into punk music when I was growing up. And yes.
Awesome. That was a high five.
That was a radio high five.
Yeah, I missed that one, listeners.
So I've been into this band for a really long time. And when I was in my early 20s, I moved away to Ontario. I was living with a guy and I moved back. And when I moved back, I literally walked into, it was like a $40,000 a year government job. I did an interview for this thing. My mom like knew somebody. Mm. So I come back from Ontario. I'm living with my parents in this suburb. Like, no, listeners of the radio friends should know that suburbs are not my favorite place. No disrespect to people who want to live in suburbs. It's just not for me as a person.
Yeah, I get it.
But my parents live in like the farthest suburb by the north perimeter. And I was working this job that was just not for me. I'm a writer. I'm a creative person. I don't work well in government, like stuffy environments where there's a lot of regulation and you can't be creative and, you know, rethink processes. All the things that people complain about government processes about.
Or any type of corporation or any large organization.
It's the reason I work for myself.
Yeah. I understand that.
So I remember... I was on this bus. I was on the 18 North Main. It was the bus. My parents were the last stop on the 18 North Main. And I'm working this job and I'm hating my life. I'm miserable. And this song comes on and, you know, John K. Samson or, you know, whatever goes, "All the slightly insane on the 18 North Main." And I was like, that's me. Yeah. I'm slightly insane on this bus right now. Okay. That's me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, fast forward 6 or 7 years, I'm a full-time business owner. I'm growing my company and I got this tattoo to celebrate 1 year of full-time business ownership. And it's on my right forearm so that every day I see it and I remember how far I've come.
You know what? That is so awesome.
Thank you.
I don't have any tattoos, mm-hmm. but I've always wanted to get a tattoo. And there's been many times that I've sort of almost gotten one, but then I raised the family and this was that. It's just, there's a whole story. Mm-hmm. I get it. Why do I bring that up that I'd like to get a tattoo?
Whatever.
I get what it is that I sort of get the idea of actually having it. Now you're going to make me think about if I was to get a tattoo, what would I put on my arm or leg or whatever it would be? I have a few ideas, but,
And I was always kind of in that camp. Like especially when I was younger, I was really unsure as to whether or not I even wanted a tattoo. But I kept coming back to this lyric over the last couple of years of my life. And I quit this government job to go to university and I had to put myself through university. I got no support from my family. They stopped talking to me for a while because they were so disappointed in the fact that I didn't stick out a government job for 40 years.
Yeah.
And so this refrain just kept playing in my head for years and years and years and years. And so when I finally took the plunge from, you know, I left my 9-to-5, I started working for myself, which was a terrifying experience. I never thought I could transition from, you know, a steady 2-week paycheck, regardless of whether or not I liked what I was doing, to doing something that's all on my own shoulders. It just felt appropriate.
Okay. So fast forward, I think that's an awesome story. By the way, what age did you go to university?
I didn't wind up going to university until I was 22 or 23, 22. I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was a little bit older.
Yeah, I was 21.
Okay.
So there's a similar backstory.
Yeah.
But I'm not here to share my backstory. It's sort of yours.
That's another show.
Yeah, that's another show. Yeah, one of these days I'll have to be interviewed by somebody so I can share all this stuff. And it'll have to be hours and hours and hours. Ford company. Okay, so I did promise you we'd talk a bit about your business. So I think it's awesome that you've got this backstory where I think it sort of fits very nicely with the quote that I actually did too.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about the stuff you're doing these days.
So Starling Social, we're a digital marketing agency, and specifically we focus on what's called content marketing. Content marketing is the process of creating and curating informational, timely, and motivational content that encourages your customers or your future clients to feel familiarity and trust and come to see your business as something that's positive and not just a business trying to sell them something. You're not asking them for something, you're giving information. That could be through blog posts, newsletters, ebooks, social media management. We do all the strategy there. Essentially, we do what I like to call the positive side of marketing.
Mm. The positive side of marketing.
Yeah. A lot of people seem to think that marketing is sort of this, like, this is skeezy, you know, everybody thinks of like Mad Men and, you know, just trying to rip people off, or, you know, people who work in marketing are kind of like, I remember when I decided that this was the route I wanted to take, there were some people that I knew who basically were like, ugh, marketers are just like gross. Like, you know.
I think what sometimes people think is they think about, like, they take marketers or marketing and they group it sort of all under one definition. And whatever that experience they had. So telemarketers, right? So suddenly you're in marketing, oh, you must be a telemarketer. Or you're in marketing and you must be in advertising and you're writing sleazy ads or whatever you want to call them. You know, they don't think about special events, public relations, advertising, email campaigns, social, like they don't think about the whole aspect of what marketing is in the umbrella.
Well, and marketing a product or service isn't just about marketing your singular product or service.
No.
It's about conveying the value of that product or service in a variety of ways that aren't just, this is how this one single thing solves a problem.
Yeah.
I always talk to our clients about their UVP or their unique value proposition.
Yeah,
and
understand that.
Yeah, so your listeners might know what you probably know what a UVP
Some
is.
Would be, yeah.
Your content marketing is a way of supporting your UVP. So we talk to our clients about the stories that that they can tell about their businesses. So from like an example for myself is that yes, we're a marketing company, but I'm a writer. And my experience is not that of a traditional, like, I don't have a BFA, or not BFA,
bachelor's
of
business,
like commerce or anything. Okay. I have a rhetoric degree. I studied writing.
Yes.
That sets my business apart right away from other marketers because my story impacts how my company looks at what we do in a different way. And so we help other companies do that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. And that, I guess, where the value comes in. I often talk to clients about features, benefit, value, right? And they get tied up in the features of what they're doing. If they're lucky, some of them can get to the benefits, but very few. And I think it's getting better because of social media and just the need to create that sort of story, that lifeline story for your organization.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's starting to be a lot better stories that add value for the clientele or potential clientele.
Yep. And it's not just in telling stories, but it's also in thinking about ways that you can present the solutions to challenges that exist within your industry, but may not even be directly related to your business. So, I'm just trying to think of like a pertinent example here, but if you're thinking about like creating blog content, for example,
sure.
Talk to your sales reps or your customer service representatives. Find out what the top five things that people are talking to them about. What are the pain points that they're experiencing? And put some content out on your website that speaks to that.
Yeah, it's interesting you would say that because I have a mailing list of about 2,000 companies that are part of my blog. And if you are listening, I apologize for not writing for a while. I do it every 2 weeks. but I'm tired. I need a little writing break. But periodically, I'll send out a survey and ask them. And I get feedback. We're interested in these topics mm-hmm. this year. Yep. And, you know, I might get a half a dozen topics from a few people. And yep. now, you know, like I'm only doing 24 articles a year. And so that makes a big difference.
Totally, it does.
You know what we need to do?
Take a break.
Yeah, we got to take a break. I love chatting with you, though. I could just spend the whole afternoon with you. It'd be cool.
That's nice.
This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, all. I'm hanging out with Allison here, Allison Shane.
Hey, again.
Allison with a Y.
That's right. A-L-Y.
A-L-Y. There we go. S-O-N.
S-O-N. S-H-A-N-E.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like I spell this all the time for people.
I know. You know, but you've got a cool name. I got to admit, you got a cool tattoo, a cool company, and a cool name.
Thank you. I'm a cool person. Yeah, I got a cool book club. Yeah, doing all right.
You are. And you grew your hair long. Sorry. Okay, now let me explain that. The first time I met you, I think it was shorter.
Right? It was shorter. I think I had glasses on.
Yeah, you had glasses on.
I look different.
That's why I said during the break that I don't think, if I walked by you on the street, I don't think I'd recognize you because you sort of changed your look a little bit.
Well, I'm glad that I ran into you because I probably would have been offended if that had happened, Richard. Oh, no, I'm just teasing you. That's not true.
I know. I'd be like, who are you? Do I know you? Hold on. I'm searching my past.
It's like a weird woman is like yelling at me on the street.
Yeah, what? Yay, hi,
Richard.
So we're chatting a bit about your company and stuff, but then I know that looking at some of your material, you did a TED Talk Winnipeg a little while ago. Could you give us a little synopsis of what that talk was about?
My talk was about the positive influence of digital communities. And okay. I touched on being a writer earlier, and I sort of touched on the not amazing relationship I have with my family. And those were sort of the two big talking points in my TED Talk. When I was younger, I didn't get a lot of support in the things that I was into or a lot of support in general. And I decided when I was in high school, I moved away. My parents moved us away from my friends. And I don't know if you guys remember dial-up internet at all, but it sucked.
Yeah.
Dial-up internet was the worst. And so I started writing to pass the time in between dial-up internet sessions while I hung out on MSN with my friends basically all weekend because I lived in the middle of nowhere. And so I discovered a community called fanfiction.net. And again, we sort of loop this back around to like sci-fi and speculative fiction and stuff. I used to write a lot of fan fiction. And so I started publishing on this community and I got positive feedback for the first meaningful time in my life. And it changed who I was. I became a more confident writer. I started blogging. And I started blogging on this community called blogger.com, which is sort of the precursor to WordPress. And I still have friends from that community to this day. And those people helped get me through some of the most personally challenging times of my life at a time when nobody else was. And we often think of the internet and social media especially as being sort of these like cesspools. You know, everybody's talking about how Twitter is a dump now and Facebook is like a trash fire and it's just a nightmare. But when you use the internet with intentionality and you deliberately seek out communities of individuals who are like-minded and who are there for a shared purpose, rather than just hanging out on Facebook and venting about things, you learn that there are actually lots of nice, kind, thoughtful people who will go out of their way to support you if all you have to do is just find them and share with them and, you know, be an authentic person.
Well, it's basically just being part of the right community that's for you.
Intentionality, right? Yeah.
And there's a couple of ways to do that. You talked earlier about volunteering and stuff. Well, mm-hmm. okay, that's local community. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole global community out there.
Oh, totally.
Of people who are like-minded and that, and they want to share with one another. Mm-hmm. And if you've tapped into that as a young age and found it as an outlet, you know, congratulations.
Yeah,
like, that's really positive.
I actually gave a talk at one of the like child and family services agencies in town a couple of weeks ago to like therapists and social work, like caseworkers who are working with at-risk youth who don't know how to find positive communities online. They're getting bullied and it's not enhancing their lives in positive ways. And so I talked to them about some opportunities for the kids that they're working with to express themselves in a meaningful sense online. And again, it comes back to intentionality. It's not just, you know, now you're on Snapchat taking photos and mindlessly going through these actions, just, you know, sort of trolling for likes, as it were, versus, you know, I'm 12 years old. I don't know how to express myself. You know, nobody understands my art. But if I find a community online that understands my art and I share it with them and I start to get that positive feedback, then you're getting you're boosting your confidence in a positive way that maybe you're not getting in the real world, or well, not the real world, but
world.
in your immediate surroundings, your real world surroundings.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the lack of something in your sort of real world or surroundings, you'll tend to seek it out somewhere else.
Exactly.
Good or bad. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that's a really good synopsis. Let's do this first. If somebody wanted to connect with you via your company, how would they go about doing that?
The easiest way to find us is to visit us on our website. We are at www.starling.social. S-O-C-I-A-L. There's no .com. It's a vanity URL.
Yeah, okay.
Starling.social.
Starling.social. What is something you want to achieve in your life?
Oh my goodness. Where do I start?
Okay.
I think I'm well on my way to doing a lot of these things. The big one for me would be more speaking and more community advocacy work. I would really like to get more involved with my local community in terms of donating my time in ways that I'm able. So to sort of carry on from the example I used about giving that talk about safe online spaces for kids, I'm going to be working on a writing workshop for at-risk youth that we're going to be doing in the evenings a couple of times to help them learn to express themselves. And so finding more opportunities to do that is sort of like the overarching goal that I have in life. I'm fortunate that as a business owner and an entrepreneur, I'm awarded a lot of opportunities to connect with my community. And I think that one of my biggest personal goals is to find more ways to capitalize on those opportunities when they're presented to me.
Okay, fair enough. I think that's awesome. That's an awesome response, actually. If you could eliminate one thing from your life, what would it be?
If I could eliminate one thing from my life, what would it be? Yeah. Oh my goodness. I would say my immediate I should start that over.
That's okay, because I'm catching you off guard.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. So I have anxiety,
okay.
And I have been seeing a therapist for a while. And I mean, whatever, it is what it is. And I think we need to destigmatize talking about that stuff.
Sure.
However,
we can talk about it here.
I would like, in the long term, it would be nice to remove some of that anxiety from my life, because those are the ways in which I hold myself back.
Mm.
And so working to eliminate those anxious feelings and those cyclical thoughts, you kind of get into like a negative feedback loop in your head where you put yourself down and you don't have to, would help me succeed not just as a professional, but also in all of my personal endeavors
personal
as well.
Life too,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
If you could change one thing in the world, what would it be?
I really wish Donald Trump wasn't president. Sorry.
I'm trying to avoid this, but I know you're into politics and stuff.
Sorry.
So no, it's okay.
But
it's okay.
Hey, listen, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. As we discussed before the show started, I'm a bit of a politics wonk. I do think about these things. I listen to NPR's Up First podcast every morning as I'm getting ready. Yeah. So I'm very involved in this world. That would kind of be the big one. Maybe moving away from him as specifically, I hope that the internet brings us closer together instead of farther apart. And I'm worried that the way a lot of people and companies are using it is taking us in the wrong direction. It would be nice to see us come together instead of become more almost tribalistic in a sense, where we're deliberately dividing ourselves up. I'd like to see less of that.
Okay, more coming together. What a show we've been having. Allison, you're such an awesome guest.
Thank you.
I guess, there's always a couple of ways I could go with this. I think I'll go with this question here. If you had one word of advice for our listeners, what would it be?
Screw the haters. Do the thing that makes you happy and find ways to pursue your passion even when it feels scary.
Okay. All right. I think that's really great advice, right? So much for the haters out there.
Sorry, haters.
Allison, I want to thank you for joining me. It's just been awesome. You're a great guest. I could, like I said, I think I could just sort of chat with you for a lot longer and go a lot deeper into things. Listeners, I think it's awesome when you tune in. I hope you're liking some of the stuff that we're doing. If you have a thought, an idea, a guest you'd like on the show, maybe a topic you would like me to sort of cover off at some point in time, send me an email, richard@setforsuccess.ca. I'd love to hear from you. And I also want you to remember to do something very special. Do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.